ours, Lord, that we would take on those difficult obediences, Lord, that we would follow your word, and we would love you and praise you with all that we are. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So happy Father's Day to all you wonderful, awesome fathers and guests and visitors and friends, family members. I'm so glad to be with you guys today. And I just briefly want to talk about God's love. I know all you guys know that my father was the pastor of this church for many, many years. And I was blessed to have a good, godly father. And he was. He wasn't a perfect man. But he was a good dad. But it's not lost to me. I know that a lot of us, didn't have the greatest relationships in the world with our fathers. Some of us as fathers and mothers, we have regrets, of how we, some of the mistakes maybe that we made raising our kids. So what I want to do today is I want to turn our focus on to the best father, to the world's best father. I want us to focus on Creator God, Father God, okay, the one who handpicked you to be his child. And dads, I know, dads, moms, we've all made a lot of mistakes, but it's not too late. It's not too late, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But let's look real fast at 1 John 3 and verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Now, there's another translation that says lavished. See what kind of love the Father has lavished on us. And I really like that word when I'm talking about love, man. God's love is just... It's hard for me to put into words, man. I constantly struggle with picking out the right words to try and explain how awesome and amazing God is, and I don't have the ability to do that. But if you guys would just allow me, real fast, just try and picture how much God loves you. Oh, I got a good idea how we can picture how much God loves us. Okay, let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to the cross, right? And let's not forget what's been done for us, and what a beautiful picture of God's love for us as a father, that sacrificial love. And we can never forget that, because when I start straying away, when I start wanting to be a disobedient to the word of God, when I start wanting to do my own thing, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to start kind of, sneaking away from that gospel, man, from the cross, what's been done for me. You know what I mean? Because we are so blessed, and we are truly loved by the Creator of the universe who handpicked us, man. So I'm not trying to be sappy, but, guys, you all got burdens. You all got things that you all got areas where you really feel like the Lord needs to move in these areas. We got these burdens. We got relational problems, financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, whatever. You're going through all these things. Lay those aside for now, okay? Matter of fact, just leave them. Leave them at the foot of the cross. But let's just put all that stuff away and focus right now on the fact that you are loved by God, that you are so loved by God, that he loves you so much. He said, listen, let's do this. Because of what my son Jesus Christ did on the cross, you know what? I want to be your dad, not just your God. I want to be your father. That should mean something to us. Amen? You know what I mean? Okay, moving forward. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So let's address that briefly. Right there at the end of that verse, it says, hey, the world does not get you. The world doesn't understand you because they don't understand God. And that's true. It's not that we understand all things about the Lord, but there's one thing that the Christian has grabbed a hold of. Hey, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. So we have that love for a God that loved us way before we ever gave him the time of day. You know what I mean? So anyways, look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. It's on your bulletin. Now, this just sheds a little bit of light of what's going on with the unbeliever, okay? Because they don't get us. And it's not that we need to get on our pedestal and judge them, certainly not. Condemn them. Okay, we got to deliver the truth, but we deliver the truth in love. Can I get a witness? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Does anybody in here have a friend, a loved one, a relative? Because you can have a relative that's not a loved one. No, I'm playing. Well, you can, I guess. Do you have someone in your life that you know, they don't get it, man. They don't understand. Well, let me get this straight. Instead of fishing or sleeping in or playing a video game or whatever, you're going to go to church on a Sunday morning? They just don't get it? You know? Well, look right here. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. And God doesn't want anyone to perish. And we don't know who is going to perish and who's not. So there we go. We have a responsibility, don't we, to go out and make disciples of all men. And a lot of that's going to be done by how we live our lives. Anyways, moving forward, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to us. We understand that we were on our way to hell, that we were condemned, man. And for God so loved the world that he sent his son to lay down his life so I don't have to go to hell. Guys, I'm just trying to tell you, man, we got a Father in heaven, and he is our Father, and he loves you with an undying love. The world's not always going to get that. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. For the natural person, or the unregenerated person, or the unsaved person, not that you are better than them, we've just accepted that precious gift. Amen? The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Isn't that amazing? But that's how a lot of my unsaved friends, they you know, hey, man, they're cool with me. And they're like, okay, you want to do that, whatever? Okay, that's fine, whatever. But it ain't my thing. And it's like the gospel or the Bible, you know. Do you really think a sea monster swallowed this dude up, man, and took him to, you know, or there was really the Tower of Babel and all this? Yeah, I do. I do, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God can do whatever in the world he wants to with his creation, you know. But, I mean, a lot of the world, it's like a fairy tale, you know, but we know that it's the truth because it's changed our life. Can I get a witness? Give them some praise, church people. Thank you, Lord. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called as kids, and we are as kids, man. So here's something really, really cool. Talking about, you know, well, let me see, how can I word this? We've all been created by God, but we're all God's creation, but we're a fallen creation, and not everybody is God's kids. That's a simple, hard truth of the matter. We're not all God's kids. Hopefully everybody in here is, right? We have to accept that message. We have to accept the gospel. We got to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay? Now I'm in the family. I've been grafted into that family. But here's the cool thing is that I have a God that sought me out, man. That sought me out. You know what I mean? Maybe you've never been picked out for anything. Maybe you're the guy that was always left behind. Maybe you're the one that you thought no one ever really cared about you. Well, see, here's the thing, man. I hope that's not the case. And it's probably not the case. But see, here's the thing is there's a God in heaven that loves you with an undying love. And he thinks about us. And that's pretty mind-blowing, really. I mean, I think about you guys all the time. I love you guys. But, I mean, imagine this. The creator of the universe taking one moment out of his schedule to think one thought about you. That's just mind-blowing, you know. Seriously, God, hey, look at Paul. Look what he's doing there. He's making a mess with the tacos. I mean, you know, whatever. But he doesn't do that, man. He thinks about us often, and he thinks good thoughts. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he's thinking about us. And he's thinking good thoughts about us. This is God, man. And we're his kids, and he loves us. Can I get a witness? That is a faithful love, man. Okay, moving forward. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 and 18. It should be on your bulletin, and I think, yeah, it's right up there on the monitor. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate, from them. This is cool to me, man. This is like God rounding us up, man. You know, saying, Donnie, I got to have you. I love you so much. I want you to be in my family. You know, separating us, calling us out from the world, handpicking us. You know what I mean? Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. Look at verse 18. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Who is saying this? The Lord Almighty. Think about that, man. The Lord Almighty, the sovereign God, the creator of the universe, says, look here. Separate yourself from the world, man. Look, I'm pulling you out. I want you to be in my family. I'm not going to let you fit into the status quo, man. I got something better, something different for you. Isn't that beautiful? You know, I'm talking about leaving the 99 to go get the one. That's how precious you are to the Lord. Okay, so maybe some of us have never really experienced a father's love. Maybe our fathers were crummy. Maybe we are crummy fathers, man. Okay, but if we fall in love with the Lord, okay, then there's time to work on these things, man. We can go back, you know. Everything that Satan has tried to steal, when a thief is caught, he's got to repay many, many times over. Yeah, we've all made mistakes. But listen, we serve a God that does the impossible. We can go back, man, and we can work on that. We can start on that today, and that's going to start with understanding, man. You know what? I got a faithful God. I got a God who is my Father, and he loves me with an undying love. Amen. Even knowing all my mistakes, all my selfishness, he says, I love you so much. Now, let's look briefly. Let's go to the next slide, I believe. Isaiah 53 in verse 10. So we serve a God. We belong to a Father that handpicked you. He sought you out. He adopted you. You know, that's what adoption is, man. You pick a child out. You say, oh, okay, I'll take this one. I need this one. And there was a high price, amen, highest price possible, highest price we could ever imagine was paid for you. Listen up, guys. The highest price imaginable was paid so you could be adopted into the family. That's how special you are to the Lord. Does that make any sense, man? We should be kind of stoked up about that, man. I don't fit in. No one digs me. No one understands me. No one gets me. Man, maybe, maybe not. I'm not saying that stuff's true. What I'm trying to say, man, is there's a God in heaven that paid the ultimate price so you could be called his son or daughter, and that should mean something. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Check this out, man. Yet it was the will of the Lord. Yet it was the will of our Father. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. What? It was the will of God the Father to place the sin of all humanity on the back of Jesus Christ so I could live forever. We can't even begin to really understand that, but think about it. Let's do the best we can. My wickedness, my unrighteousness, and all of you guys is too, whoop-de-doo, right? All past, present, and future, man, our sins were placed on the back of Jesus Christ. And his righteousness was placed on my back. How about them apples, man? Talk about, are you loved? Do I have a good father? I don't know about your earthly father. I have no idea about most of you guys' dad, but I know you have a Father in heaven that paid the ultimate price. That our big brother laid down his life, that he was crushed by the weight of humanity's sin, and God the Father said, okay, this pleases me because this is going to lead to the south. This is going to lead to the world's biggest adoption plan, that all these children are going to be able to be brought into my family. They're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Give them some praise. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him when his soul makes an offering for guilt. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. This is God, and we're talking about Jesus here. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, that's what Jesus Christ did for you guys, he shall see his offspring. Okay, What are offspring? My offspring are my babies, are my kids. You see, we've been grafted into that family. Our access to the family of God is only because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Does that make sense? This morning, guys, thank the Lord for Jesus. Amen. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. That's kind of weird. What's he talking about? Jesus is going to prolong his days? I thought he died when he was 33 years old. He did, and he rose from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will never taste death again. And because of that, us being in the family, we're all going to probably face that natural death. You know what I mean? But we'll never know what that spiritual death ever feels like. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. We've been born twice, right? So we only have to die once. You know, we were naturally born, and we were born of the Spirit. Man, we've accepted Jesus Christ. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. God is good, man. You got a good dad. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I like that, man. Jesus Christ had absolutely the world's toughest mission. You know what I mean? And he said, you know what? I despise the shame of this cross, but I got some joy set before me, man. You know, Jesus was looking at the other side of that cross. And it still blows my mind when I think about that. You know, I mean, little things excite me, but this is no little thing. It took me a long time to realize this, what Jesus was actually, what was that joy, man? Not just obedience to the Father, but it was us, man. He was thinking about us. On the other side of that cross. When I do this, Crystal will be able to come into the family. Brother Donnie will be able to come into the family. Paul will be able to come into the family. See what a wonderful, wonderful blessing we have? Okay, let's go to Romans 8 and verse 38. So a huge price was paid for you to be adopted. Romans 8 and verse 38. Here's the cool thing. Here's the pretty hip happening cool thing. You know, people get divorced all the time. We know that. People fall out of love all the time. People abandon their kids all the time. But see, check this out. Romans 8 and verse 38. Our God, our daddy, he's not going to stop loving us. You ever worry about that? You ever worry, man, have I crossed a line? Have I went too far where God's not going to love me anymore? Have I finally crossed that line? You know what I mean? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. You need to underline that, man. Underline that. Nor anything else in all creation. So what's going to separate me from the love of my Father? What's going to pry me away from God's love? Nothing. Nothing can do that. Okay? So whatever you know, whatever the painful things we might have in our past about relationships or something that might make us look at God the Father in some weird way, we need to just push all that stuff away. Because our God, our Father, he's perfect in every way. We don't always understand the things that he allows us to go through. We don't allow the things that come into our life. We don't always understand those things. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. Okay, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, it all hinges on Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? It's not that you're super cool and awesome. I think you are super cool and awesome, but I don't have anything to do with any of this. You know what I mean? It's not that you're super cool. It's not that you're super wealthy. It's not that you build 100 orphanages in some war-torn place. It's not about that, man. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead. And he paid for our sins. His righteousness was put on me, okay? Through Jesus Christ, I'm in that family. You're blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're blessed. The blessing. Okay. Psalm 18 and verse 30. So we got a God, we got a dad that pulled us out of the world, man. He adopted us. He called us. He paid a huge price, the hugest price, and he's not going to stop loving you. He's not going to give up on you. And see, we got to understand this, man. Because, yeah, God does bring correction, you know, like any good loving father, and we do go through some pretty horrible, scary times sometimes, man. You know, some things that aren't really fair. But God never promised, you know, this world is going to be fair. He did say, you know, if they don't like me, if they hated me, yeah, they're not going to like you either, man. You know? Peter said, if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. We're going to go through trials, man. People ain't always going to dig you. People ain't always going to understand you. And sometimes you're just going to be selfish and make mistakes. We're going to do that sort of thing, man. So life's not always easy. Anyways, but we serve a God. We have a Father in heaven who is perfect. Psalm 18 and verse 30. This God, my God, your God, this God, his way is perfect. That's another thing we need to underline. Underline it on your bulletin, man. This God, his way is perfect. Because you don't belong to some fake deity. You don't belong to some Eastern philosophy, hocus pocus, rubbish. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, man, there's a God in heaven, and he created all things, and he sent his son to die so we could be forgiven of our sins and live for him forever because he wanted to bring us into the family. You know what I mean? He wanted us to be in the family. So it's not just saying, hey, you guys, if you want, you can call me dad. No, he says, that is what you are, man. You're my kids now. You are my responsibility. You understand that. You know, he's saying that, yeah, I'm going to bring correction, but that's my responsibility. But I'm going to take care of you because that's my responsibility. And we got a lot of good dads around here, man. I'm super proud of them. But any good thing us dads have or our moms have is because of the Most High God. Can I get a witness? This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. Isn't that cool that our dad gives us a manual? You know what I mean? Hey, you ever... if you don't know what to do, hey, you got the manual for life right there. And see, we can come before the Lord any time we want to, but that's coming up, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Isn't that super cool, man? Isn't that super cool? It is, man, that my God is a shield. My God protects me. My God gives me peace. My dad, Abba Father, okay? I have peace in his arms. You know what I mean? I remember being a little kid, my dad holding me and trying to get me to shut up. And I was crying. I don't know why I remember this. I think I tell this dumb little story every Father's Day. But it's important to me. So here we go. I know two people in here are going to try and listen. No, but... So anywho, man, I was a little kid, and we were someplace out of town. I don't know where we were. And I was crying. I guess I didn't feel good. And I remember my dad holding me and walking me up and down the hall. And he's like, look out the window. Look at the river. Look at the river. Isn't that nice? He was trying to get me to calm down. He was trying to give me peace. And I can't really remember what happened. I guess eventually I fell asleep or something. But anywho, we have a God in heaven, okay? He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He sent the Comforter. We're never alone. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he says, if you run to me during these scary times and these uncertain times, you don't have to act like an idiot, man. Run to me, and I'll give you peace. Run to me, and you can have peace no matter what's going on in your world. Can I get a witness? This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. So here's the skinny. Here's the deal, man. We have a Father. We have a Father, okay? And he wants us to, and he invites us to take refuge in him, you know? And in this world that, you know, is just crazy, it would certainly be to our benefit to take refuge in him, run into his arms, run into the Word of God, and get peace. But we don't always do that, you know? But it would be our benefit to do that. Sometimes we just want to handle it on our own, and it's not going to work out. You're not going to have that kind of peace. Because eventually you're going to run into something that's bigger than you, man. Word up. I mean, can I get a witness? Next slide. That's what the kids say nowadays. They say, word up. I think they said that like 1988 or something. Yeah. They would, and they say, word to your mother. Let's go to the, are we on slide three? We are on slide three. Are we on slide three? Okay. He is perfect. No mistakes. So let's go to Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. It's on your bulletin. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. I got a God, I got a dad who sought me out. He paid a huge price for me. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31. And he takes care of me. Now what we have here, we have a little picture. Tiny little picture of what was going on with the children of Israel. Now remember the children of Israel, they were in captivity. They were in slavery for like hundreds of years. But God was with them, you know, and God had a plan for them. You might feel like you've just been in a horrible, crazy, stagnant time. Don't give up. You might see people like, man, I don't get it, man. I'm being left behind here. Hey, man, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Don't get into that bitterness racket, right? So anyways, God takes them out of Egypt and all the way through the wilderness, and with all their grumbling and complaining and doubting him, okay? Now looky here, talking about God's faithfulness. He takes care of me, and he always will. Deuteronomy 1:31, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. Isn't that precious? Isn't that so precious to think about God, you know, carrying his lambs, carrying his little sheepies, carrying us, man, through those hard times, providing, protecting, taking care of us. Your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. So what we got here is like, remember the slavery days, you know, before you belonged to me, when we were in slavery, when we were in bondage to sin, and God wouldn't give up on us, you know what I mean? Maybe somebody was praying for you, and God said, yeah, he looks like he's a little rough around the edges, but he's mine, he's coming with me, you know what I mean? And God carried them out of slavery through the wilderness and all those trials and brings them right to the promised land, and he didn't leave them when they got to the promised land, you know? So here we are for the duration. And, my dad's been passed away almost 10 years now. Almost, it's crazy. It's hard to imagine. But he's been passed away almost 10 years. And, you know, we get to an age where our parents' roles certainly change. But see, we got our Heavenly Father. And even though we might go through different sections in our life, he don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's always going to be there for us, and he's always going to bring that correction. Right? He's always going to be teaching us those lessons, but he's always going to protect us too and provide for us. You're blessed. You're blessed. Okay, so now Psalm 138 and verse 3. Do you see it? Do you see it somewhere? This is David. This is one of the big things, man, when we're talking about God. Because we know all this stuff. I haven't said anything that just blew you guys' mind. You know, like, oh my gosh, I look at life completely different now. You know, and I don't think that's happened yet. And I don't know if that's going to happen. But anywho, this is pretty cool. Look at your neighbor and say, well, this is probably going to be cool. It's going to be cool, man. Just give me like 3 more minutes. Now check this out. God, who has all these amazing attributes, who is my Father, who dwells in unapproachable light, you know what I mean? Okay, so the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. He gives me direct access to him. He is approachable. Some of us, you know, I've heard stories, people, I didn't ever know my dad very well. He was a distant cat, whatever. I'm not downplaying any of that, but I'm saying our Heavenly Father's not like that. Not like that at all. This is what David said, Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. Isn't that cool? On the day I called, you answered me. All the time, man, I don't answer all my calls. If I'm with somebody and I'm talking with them, I will call somebody back later on down the road, you know, and I always will do that. But see, here's the deal, man. We got a God that he's like, okay, that's my kid. I got time. I got nothing but time because that's my baby. And that's one thing I will do. It doesn't matter who I'm hanging out with, whatever I'm talking about. If Rachel Jean calls or one of my kids, like, hold on 1 second. So one of my kids, Sam probably, never mind. But I'll answer those calls, man. Why? Because those are my babies, man. Those are my kids. Okay, Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. Okay, so he's not just there for me, but he gives me what I need, man. Isn't that cool? Have you ever needed strength? God says, I got what you need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, we're wrapping things up. Let us then with confidence draw near. Look, my God is approachable. And it's not because of you, it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He gives me direct access to the throne room of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Have you ever had to talk to the boss man? Have you ever had to, you know, say, hey, boss man, hey, how was your weekend? Have you ever had to approach the boss man and you're like a little unsure if you're going to be welcomed or whatever? Because boss men are kind of busy. Or maybe the old man, you know, hey, dad, hey, talk to me later, boy. Look, but looky here, your heavenly Father, let us then with confidence, I know he's got time for me. I know he's going to be stoked to hear from me. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Isn't that cool? We got direct access to the throne room of heaven through Jesus Christ. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't like being in times of need. You know, America's in a crazy place right now, but God is faithful. And your home life might be kind of crazy right now, but God is faithful. I don't really know what's going on, but I do know this, that I have a God in heaven that says, hey, let's reason together. Come talk to me, man, because I got grace for you. I got mercy for you. What is grace? God's favor. God's got what you need this morning. Your dad has what you need. The last verse, same as the first. It has nothing to do with the first verse, actually. But James 1 and verse 5, last verse. Our God is approachable. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, look around. You think any of these brilliant people in here lack wisdom? No, I'm playing. I'm playing. But if you ever lack wisdom, go ask Dad, right? Go see what Dad has to say about it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let me ask my Father. Let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, that reproach, it's an interesting word in the original translation. It means like a braideth knot or something like that. But it means like he's not going to snap at you, which is super cool. You're invited to come to the throne room of the Lord, hang out with God, talk to him, get into his word, and he's going to be fired up about it. He's going to be stoked up about it. He's going to love the fact that you want to hang out with him. He wants to be part of our life, you know. And, you know, the older I get, the more I don't want to lose that connection with my kids, man. You know, I always want to be there for them. And they don't need me as much as they used to, but I always want to be there for them. And it's so important to me. And it's just really, really cool that God's like, hey, don't let nothing come between us, boy. You know, I love you so much. I paid the ultimate price so you can be in this family.